so no one would know how tired they've grown of talking and telling their lies. Oh, we got no health insurance, no cellular service, no disease they can cure. But we need more money to burn, so each person must learn the dollar amount they are worth.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Wendell Potter, the author of Deadly Spin, an insurance company insider speaks out on how corporate PR is killing healthcare and deceiving Americans. After a long career in the for-profit health industry as the chief corporate spokesperson at Cigna Corporation and as head of corporate communications at Humana Inc., he is now a senior analyst on healthcare at the Center for Public Integrity. Welcome to Background Briefing, Wendell Potter.
Thank you, Ian. Thanks for having me on.
And today, of course, is the big day for the rollout of Obamacare's exchanges. And the government website apparently is being flooded and it's wobbly, not entirely surprising. But, of course, it's all happening in the context of this desperate effort to shut down Obamacare by the Republicans. Do you have a comment on that before we talk about the nuts and bolts of the new healthcare law?
Yeah, I do. It's kind of a rich irony that the government, or at least the parts of it, is being shut down because of what's going on in Washington. But Obamacare is not one of the things being shut down. It's very ironic because the funding was already in place for the exchanges to go online. They are up and running. And you're exactly right. They've been overwhelmed with visitors to the site and people who've been calling in, and that just goes to show you what the pent-up demand is in this country for affordable health insurance. We have 48 million Americans who don't have coverage, so it's not a bit surprising to me that they're getting enormous demand today.
So is it your analysis that the reason that the Republicans went to the mat on this and at times appeared to be hysterical was simply that they're afraid that this thing's going to work? Because that's, after all, what Senator Ted Cruz admitted to in an interview with Fox News.
It's exactly the what's going on here. They are so wedded to the ideology that this cannot work and that it represents government intrusion into people's lives, or that it doesn't represent true free market health care, if there is such a thing, which there really isn't. But it's they're so concerned, quite frankly, that their ideology is going to be proven wrong, that what they're doing now is frankly trying to impede it from succeeding. But that's just not going to be a possibility. But it's, I think, a last-ditch effort to try to derail something to keep this metaphor going. That train has already left the station.
But the Koch brothers are putting a lot of money behind a so-called youth group that they're fronting that's urging college kids not to sign up and talking about it as a Ponzi scheme. And what do you think their chances of success are? Because after all, it's the young, healthy people you need to broaden the pool to compensate for the sick people. The bigger the pool, the lower the prices. The smaller the pool, the higher the prices. If the prices aren't lowered, then the whole program's in trouble.
I think it is so misguided and such a waste of money and resources. I think it will actually not only not be effective, but in many cases maybe backfire. I've seen some of the ads that they have out there, and they're just laughable. And I think college students in particular can see through that. They realize it's just nonsense. And young people recognize that they need to have coverage. There's this theory that young people all think they're young invincibles, and that's a term that has been prevalent in the insurance industry. I know that from my days there. But it's not, you know, people who are young also recognize that you need to have some protection against financial ruin, and that if you get sick or injured and that people who are young also get sick and injured, that it makes no sense to go uninsured. The other thing here, too, is I think that parents are going to be interceding. I'm a parent. I have a 26-year-old and a 30-year-old, and I know I'm not uncommon in saying that I want to make sure that my kids are protected, that they don't go bear, as they say in the insurance industry, that they have coverage for their own sake.
So as an insurance company insider and veteran, having been the head chief corporate spokesperson for Cigna and head of corporate communications at Humana, Wendell Potter, what did you make of Nancy Pelosi's remarks towards the end of this tortured insanity that went on Capitol Hill over the last week or so? And of course, we may have it even more. I mean, this time around, the Republicans behaved stupidly. In 2 weeks' time, if they tried to hold the full faith and credit of the United States at ransom, then they're behaving really dangerously and recklessly. So it could get worse. But in the midst of all of the turmoil, Pelosi said that the Republicans were showing their loyalty to the insurance companies. And I'm wondering, did the insurance companies renege on Obamacare? Because a lot of the criticism of Obamacare from the left was it wasn't single payer, it wasn't good enough, and that Obama had caved into the insurance business. So what's happening there?
Well, it's interesting. And one of the things, in keeping with what you just said, there are people on the left who don't like Obamacare because they don't think it went far enough. And obviously people on the right who thinks it goes too far. But the people who like it or think it doesn't go far enough are in the majority. There are more of those than there are people who don't think it, who think it is wrong for the country or goes too far. And I think Leader Pelosi was correct. The insurance industry does not speak of one with one voice, quite frankly, these days. Though there are insurance companies that will benefit and want this to go forward because they recognize not only will they themselves benefit, but they are in this to try to make sure that people get access to the care that they need. And those are primarily the nonprofit insurance companies, and there still are many of them. And some of the new ones that are new to the scene, like the new nonprofit cooperative health insurance plans that will be offered in about 20 to 25 states. The big for-profit insurance companies, like the ones that I worked for, are the ones that are truly concerned about this. And they're the ones with the big bucks who've been able to bankroll a lot of these misinformation campaigns. They're concerned because they know, quite frankly, that this law will, in the long run, and probably in the short term, disrupt the way they do business. And it will level the playing field to make some of the smaller competitors much more successful at their expense. So that's what I would like for everyone to understand. There are some insurance companies that are operating on a nonprofit basis, and there'll be plenty of them that people can choose from in most states on the exchanges or in the marketplaces.
Again, I'm speaking with Wendell Potter, who's the author of Deadly Spin, an insurance company insider speaks out on how corporate PR is killing healthcare and deceiving Americans. After a long career in the for-profit health industry as the chief corporate spokesman at Cigna Corporation and as head of corporate communications at Humana Inc., he is now a senior analyst on healthcare at the Center for Public Integrity. So back to the launch of Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, and the opening of these exchanges. We mentioned that the government website has set up has had its problems because it's been overwhelmed. But I imagine that will eventually sort itself out. What's your sense then of how these deadlines are going to be met? Which states are cooperating and which are not? And will that make a difference? I know the governor of Florida, who comes out of the insurance business, he had to pay, I think, one of the biggest fines in U.S. history for defrauding the government. He's doing everything he can to stop it. So give us a rundown on who's up, who's down, and who's going to win.
Well, the good news here is that governors like Scott in Florida, and you're exactly right, he came out of the insurance industry and did pay this enormous fine and had to leave the company as a result of the work that he did there and the way he led the company. And he's made a fortune off of health care. And, he doesn't like the way things are going with the Affordable Care Act because it probably would affect his stock portfolio. He's very limited into what he can do, and so are a lot of the other governors that are trying to block this because it was passed by Congress. And the exchanges have already been funded. One of the ironies is that while the small number of Republicans have been able to shut down much of the government, they have not been able to shut down the marketplaces or these exchanges or Obamacare at all. It is going forward, and so there's a very limited amount that these guys can do. There's not much mischief that is left that they can do to disrupt it. It's going forward, and it will be smoother in some states than others. So we have a mix of some states, like in California, the state is running its own exchange, and for many other states, the federal government is running them. That's why every state, regardless of what the governor says, will have an exchange, plus Washington, D.C. So much of this is really beyond the control, thank goodness, of many of the governors and state legislatures.
So there's been a general impression, though, Wendell Potter, that Obamacare has not been properly sold, or not sold at all, whereas the other side that have demonized and have had a blank check from the Koch brothers and others, and that the misinformation has overwhelmed the factual information. So what's your analysis of that?
I don't disagree with that at all. In fact, there was an analysis earlier this year by Cantor Media, which analyzes advertising spending in the country, and it pointed out that since 2010, those who are opposed to Obamacare, including the Koch brothers, have spent $400 million, and this was earlier in the year, trying to discredit and mislead people about the law, and only $75 million has been spent by supporters to try to educate the public and inform them. And that's 5-1, and so it's not at all surprising that people are confused and misled and just misinformed. That will begin to change because at the core of these misinformation campaigns is fear, and it's the fear of the unknown. We are at the point now where we know the period of the unknown is coming to an end, so those kinds of campaigns are not going to be as effective as they have been in the past, and people are certainly beginning to sign up as we speak now for coverage that they have not had access to in the past.
So with the polls indicating that the country is evenly split, 48% of the country are for Obamacare, 48% are against, you're suggesting that those numbers can shift fairly rapidly when people start to learn about the program. But what is your analysis of why the passion is so great, particularly with the Tea Party people, who, after all, are driving these Congress people into this peculiar behavior? The only rational explanation for the behavior of the Congress is that they're more afraid of a Tea Party challenger even further to the right than they are, than they are of anything else. And that's why they're behaving irrationally. There's a sort of method to their madness. So give me a sense, then, of what you understand Wendell Potter is, why these, you know, American working people who could benefit so much from health care, who probably can't even afford it as it stands now in the markets before Obamacare, yet they feel so passionately against it.
I'll tell you why. It's because from the very beginning of the debate on health care reform, the people I used to work for, they being insurance companies, wanted to manipulate public opinion. They wanted to try to control the debate on reform so that they could shape the public policy, so that they could shape the resulting law. And their consultants, their big PR consultants, suggested that they tell their political friends to call this a government takeover of health care, regardless of what the final bill looked like. They did that from the very beginning, and they repeated that time and time and time again, to the point that they got people believing that. And even the people who are saying it, if you say a lie so often, so many times, you'll yourself begin to believe it. But a lot of folks bought that as gospel, and they still do. They've essentially outsourced their thinking to people who've lied to them, which is a tragedy, because you're exactly right. A lot of the folks who hold that as truth are the very people who can benefit most from the changes in the healthcare system.
Because I heard Congress people in this debate, not that there was really a debate, but trying to defend the indefensible, the Tea Partiers on the Hill, were saying things like, you know, we have the greatest health care system in the world, and Obama's going to wreck it. Now, you know, I guess, what do you do about people who simply don't deal with data? I mean, we have the worst health care system among the advanced democracies. The facts and figures are so stark and appalling that we spend more money for the worst outcomes. I mean, it's just unassailably true, isn't it?
It is, and I think that what we need to do is to know, just accept as a given that some people will never believe that we have a system that is not the best in the world. There are some people who just can't imagine that America doesn't have the best of everything. Just know that you're always going to have a sizable segment of the population that will believe that. Others are more willing to think critically and listen to reason and to empirical data and evidence and know that that is not true. So those are the people that you really need to communicate with. There will always be some people that just will close their ears to anything that doesn't support their own worldview.
Well, very early in the piece, I recall that Warren Buffett was very critical of Obamacare because he felt that it didn't deal with the real issue over healthcare, which is out-of-control costs, that Obama should have gone after costs first and access later, and that he got the cart before the horse, according to his analysis. What's your sense of that? Because we know that healthcare costs are the biggest budget busters. They're the ones that have been driving the deficit, not that the deficit's any longer the great problem it was. As the president pointed out today, it's gone down to a record level very fast. So even the Republicans aren't bringing that one up. But in terms of whether costs are going to be reduced, where do you stand on that?
Well, it would in an ideal world, Warren Buffett would be right. But you can't separate politics from policy. The reality is, those who profit most from the status quo are those that have the most money to spend to influence public policy, to make campaign contributions, and they would not allow the government or the Congress to start first with those costs, because when you're doing that, you're affecting someone's income or someone's profits. So you have to begin somewhere, and access is where you begin. But beyond that, there are many things in the Affordable Care Act that will serve to reduce cost. And you're right. The president noted that already we've seen a moderation of inflation in our healthcare system.
Well, Wendell Potter, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thank you so much, Ian. I really have enjoyed the conversation.
Me too. Again, I've been speaking with Wendell Potter, who's the author of Deadly Spin, an insurance company insider speaks out on how corporate PR is killing healthcare and deceiving Americans. After a long career in the for-profit health industry as the chief corporate spokesman at Cigna Corporation and as head of corporate communications at Humana Inc., he is now a senior analyst on healthcare at the Center for Public Integrity. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. We can also contact me, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now. Time was